Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Welcome to Inside Finance. Once again, I am Stanford Simon. It's a great joy to be with you. I continue my discussion here, as we've been doing for the past, 2 weeks. This is the third week of it, hopefully the final week we'll be here with them. But it's very, very important. We're looking at a revised incentive regime that have been set up by the government. And Mr. Roland Theodore, who is the senior vice president of the Grenada Industrial Development Corporation. We have Ms. Allison Carvel Lett, who's the deputy controller, and she's the first person I've been asking a question. Anyway, the Grenada Custom and Excise Department. It's Captain Alexander Peer, Senior Investment Promotion Specialist, GIDC, and Ophelia Wells Cornwall, Deputy Controller, Inland Revenue Department. Now, Ms. Lett, you've been the quietest of the lot here. I don't know, it's because custom always working in the background, and only when you come to pay. But anyway, let's look at this. Who will be responsible for monitoring the incentives grant? What provisions are there to protect government from abuse? And we know that's a big problem. Persons normally say they're doing this, but they're doing that. And you know, as a custom officer, have to determine if they're lying or they're telling you the truth. Now talk to us about how you're going to deal with that.
Customs will be responsible mainly for the monitoring. Our legislation gives us the authority to verify incentives and make sure whether it was utilized in the manner that it was intended for. Now, if we find that somebody has gone contrary to what they said, they're going to use the incentive for the legislation, make provision for us to take corrective action, basically. The goods will become, the duties will become payable. Once we can prove that they've really strayed from the purpose of the incentive. So the duties and taxes will become payable. Administrative or legal action can be taken against that concessionaire. The misused goods in question can be seized if it has been transferred to somebody else, and both parties can be fined. A penalty can be imposed in that case. If the concessionaire is deemed now high risk by our system, because we have the auditing system and the risk management system, once we would have done those compliance checks and we've determined that they have become a high risk to us, they will be placed on a high risk list within customs. So that means for that particular concessionaire, when your goods come in at the port, you'll get 100% documentary check, you'll get 100% physical examination of your goods. So I believe the best is to make sure that you're not in contravention with what you're doing.
Do not lie to the custom officer. Talk the truth.
Right.
Even though you had to pay a little bit more, you may just happen, they may help you a little bit, but you need to be honest with them.
Because the process, the throughput process will become shorter for you once we recognize that you're a compliant concessionaire or importer.
A big difference. Now, Mr.
If I can add something, because you asked the question, what provision is being made to protect government from abuse? And I know last week or week before we mentioned about the property transfer tax, and that's an incentive that is granted, and it is a more or less an upfront incentive that is granted to investors. And as I mentioned last session, is that persons who would acquire property, and especially foreigners, who would be liable to pay that 10% property transfer tax, will not pay that full property transfer tax depending on the amount of investment that they're making. So let's say, for example, if they get a 50% exemption, that would be 5% revenue government would be losing. If they get 100%, that would be 10% government would be losing. And the intention is that we expect that you make that investment. So at the end of the day, we would have an investment project where investment will be made. That means the businesses in the community will benefit, as well as employment will be created. Now, if the investor purchases a property and never uses the property for what it intends to do. Let's say for it uses it instead for speculating or just have the property there. The intention is to, in order to protect the government for that revenue that it would have lost up front, if the investment is not done within a specified time that the investor indicated that he would have made that investment, he would not be liable to pay back the exemption that was granted up front. So the property transfer tax law makes provision for a clawback is placed so that if the investor does not do as he indicated that he would do to get that waiver, he would now be liable to pay back the tax which was waived up front.
Okay, Ms. Connell.
Further, all the legislations pertaining to relative to the tax, the income tax, the VAT, and as Ms. Pierre indicated, the Property Transfer Tax Act does allow for a clawback in terms of the imposition of what was foregone. However, I want to dovetail on Ms. Lett's point in terms of the sanctions and the fines that can be imposed other than the charge, because a charge may be imposed on the person and they never pay. So the recovery provisions in the various tax laws would have to kick in to ensure that government recoups. Because I can forego and put it on the books, but I may not necessarily recover it in terms of cash where I could have gotten up front. So the enforcement provisions of the various tax laws would come into effect, more so the tax admin bill, which we should have a separate session on, okay. Because the tax admin bill is intended to go live, you know, and we have a lot of enforcement, a lot of legal teeth in the tax admin bill where liens are concerned. And if you're a foreign investor, for instance, that owe the government, we were talking about things like tax exit certificate and so on at the immigration. So you may acquire and we may impose and you may just skip the country. But the tax admin law allows us to do a lot of things under that. Generally speaking, it covers everything that we do.
Okay, so it means the coordination also computer-wise, where the computers, the information is linked within the department. So if something is happening with one department, it is shared with the rest, so everybody know what is happening with that particular investor or client. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Theodore, this question I think is important for all of us. Do you think this incentive regime will see more investment to Grenada, which I think is the reason why you're doing it? But will there be?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me say there are several factors that can stimulate in investment in any country, and Grenada being no exemption. An investor will look at the cost of doing business. I make reference to like electricity cost of transportation.
That's the first thing come to my head. Taxi bill.
Cost of raw materials, getting availability of raw materials, the quality and supply of labor. They will look at government policies. They'll look at government the quality of life. So there are several things an investor considers in addition to incentives. Yeah, where incentives are concerned, I think having a system that is clear and transparent is best practice, and it can boost investors' confidence. The system we're putting in here will be one that is transparent and one that is performance based. It's one that takes away that level of discretion that we are used to. And so we believe it will boost investors' confidence. As to whether or not we'll get more investments coming in, I look forward to maybe coming to your program on May, because we put this program in tune on May 1st. Maybe I can come on your program May 1st, 2017. And then we can talk about what progress has been made.
One year following. I would hold you to that. I would hold you to that. Because I'm a man of my word. So when I call you, don't give me no...
No, I'll be here. I'm a man of my word too. Right? Okay. Right? So we can then discuss the sort of progress that we made. So then we can clearly say, well, this is the sort of data we had some years ago. And look at the trends and so forth.
Right.
So,
what is happening. Yeah. Ms. Pierre, how will this regime be different to the regime of other Caribbean islands? What is different about this we are doing compared to the rest of the islands in the region?
Well, Grenada would be the first in the OECS to actually have an automatic, transparent system like this. Mm. All the other countries within the OECS more or less grant incentives the same way that we have been doing it. you have to go to cabinet, and cabinet will have to give the approval, and cabinet
which gave the politicians too much power.
Exactly. So Grenada will be the first in the OECS, but it is the second within CARICOM, because Jamaica would have implemented a system similar to this in 2014. And we, the technical working members of the technical working group, did a study tour to Jamaica in February of this year. And what was stated is that the system is working rather fine. And it gives investors that confidence, you know, that they know exactly and up front, this is what I want to do, and these are the benefits that I would get if I do this project. So the clear, transparent process has worked for them. That is what they have indicated. And as Mr. Theodore says, a year from May 1st, we will see if
so
it is working.
I'm holding
as well
you accountable too.
Sure. Okay.
Just to add, though, I just wanted to add what Ms. Pierre mentioned in terms of the other countries. Some weeks ago, when you mentioned about the incentive, we talked about legislation that is outdated and so. Several countries have that similar problem. Several countries have a problem where you are granting incentives and the legislation is in violation to agreements they have signed on to, especially that of WTO trade, the obligations on WTO. Sorry. So they are being forced to make changes to the incentive regime. So I strongly believe within this year and next year, you will see a lot of countries coming on board and making changes to their regime. Yes, they will look at what other countries are doing and mimic same. We are leading on this. I mean, Jamaica has been out there. We second in this. And it's just a matter of, you know, going through the teething process to make sure that we do this and do this right.
Mm. Well, I think the point is not reinventing the wheel, but look at what others have done. Let me ask, though, will there be a booklet that you would have outlining the... So I, as an investor, could go online and see these other things. I could go come to GIDC and give me a booklet. I go to the Ministry of Finance. I go to Inland Revenue, to Custom, and I'll get a booklet that says the same thing. When I read it, I know exactly what is available to me. I won't have to come and ask you. I may come and ask for clarification, but I hope you would develop a booklet that outline clearly what it is, because if you leave it up to individuals to interpret, they may be saying the wrong thing.
Yeah, it's a new regime, and we want to make sure that everyone becomes aware as to what is available, how I can get access to this, how do I get access to the incentives, and what do I have to do. We're going to have a booklet produced.
Okay.
Right.
Okay,
so the booklet is currently being looked at now, production. We're going to make sure this information is available on the websites of the various departments, so everybody is aware of what is available and so. So yes, in terms of communicating this regime, it is high on the agenda to make sure that people become aware as to what is available and how do they get the incentives.
Okay. Ms. Cornwell, where are we now with the revised incentive regime? We have talked a lot about the things about it, but where are we at this point? I know you indicated from the 1st of May it will be implemented, but where are we at this point?
Well, we have 6 bills that were submitted to the Office of the Governor General, and to receive Her Excellency's assent. And accordingly, upon receipt of the Governor General's assent, it is predicted that the acts would be published in the Gazette, right? Because you see, we are amending various pieces of legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the income tax, the VAT, and so on. And upon publication of the 6 acts, the next step is the signing of the publication of the 5 commencement orders and 1 commencement proclamation to bring the 6 acts into force simultaneously, because everything it's a package.
Mm-hmm.
The acts, the various pieces, already went through the upper and the lower house. But what is in there is by the minister, by order, may bring it into force. So after assent and gazette, the minister now needs to do the order. The order needs to be prepared for the minister to bring it into force. And that is how it was done. So that's where we are. And we are, again, looking at the 1st of May as the commencement for this particular provision. I want to sneak in again. We're looking at the 1st of May for our tax admin bill also.
These Inland Revenue people, they're bad for the taxes, but they have rights, because that's how we gain pay, right? Yes. I must say. What I'll do, folks, I'll just take a word for a word, just a break, and I'll come back and finish my discussion. Finally, after 3 weeks, we're concluding with them, so at least we could take a break now, and we would come back. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon, and I'm speaking to Mr. Ronald Theodore, who is the Senior Vice President of the Grenada Industrial Development Corporation. Ms. Alison Cavellet, Deputy Controller, Grenada Custom and Excise Department. Ms. Katia and Alexander Pierre, Senior Investment Promotion Specialist, GIDC. And Ms. Ophelia Wells Cornwall, Deputy Controller, Inland Revenue. I am Stanford Simon. This is Encounter. We come right back. And I continue my discussion here. But really, a conclusion. Last 15 minutes, we spend the time concluding. I have just about two or three more questions to ask them, and then I'll leave them maybe to comment on other things that they may after. This is Inside Finance.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acrobrop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acrobrop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back to Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon, as always. It's always a joy to be with you and to share information with you what's happening here in Grenada and across the Caribbean. But for the past 3 weeks, I have been talking to the folks here inside finance. And for those of you who have now joined us for any reason, Sir Ronald Theodore, Senior Vice President of the Grenada Industrial Development Corporation, Ms. Alison Cavellet, Deputy Controller, Grenada Custom and Excise Department, and Ms. Katia Alexander Pierre, Senior Investment Promotion Specialist, GIDC, Ms. Ophelia Wells Cornwall, Deputy Controller, Inland Revenue. Now, it must have been quite a big challenge in terms of trying to put all of this together, and it has not been easy. How long have you been working on this project?
Quite a while. We started last year. There were some initial concepts in 2014, but this grouping came very active in 2015 in terms of trying to formalize the process. And it has been a good experience, and I must say it has been a great pleasure working with the various departments. Mm. What is quite interesting, though, in terms of a challenge, when you put persons who wear different hats in one room to come to derive an incentive regime, it could be you do have interesting debates. We all wear different hats. I mean, from us, from GIDC, we wear a hat of an investment promotion and promoting Grenada's investment location. You have customs and Inland Revenue wear a hat of revenue and protecting government revenue base and so forth.
In the bank.
Right? And then you have your legal team and you have your trade team, right, each wearing different hats. So you can have some interesting debates, and it's good to, I think they'd have some level of compromise, and I think we were able to compromise to come up with a package that we think is workable. Yes, there are some areas that we still have to continue to work on, and we'll continue to do so. We'll continue to work as a committee to make sure that, we get, we go through all the teething processes and so forth. So it has been a pleasure. Yeah.
Just a matter of note, and I guess Custom misled you able to answer that. There is always a challenge on the docks when you come to clear things. The length of time it takes. I must commend you all, because there are system implemented where you could register online. You could do it, and that has helped tremendously in terms of what is. But still, sometimes the custom officers, their friendliness, their way, the customer service part of, and no, and that has improved. I must also commend you on that. But I think there's still to be some more work done, and that within there, where they treat people as customers and not if I'm just coming here and, somehow they are boss. And that seems to come across, and most people complain about that. They don't treat us as customers.
Okay, well, we have, as you said, done tremendous training in terms of customer service. And like you said, it has improved. And it's a work in progress. Like with everything else, it is a work in progress. So we do refresher courses, and we do say to our staff that, the customers are very important to us. And so I would not say that each one would treat you as if they're a mini god, you know.
But work is being done.
Work is being done, okay, and it's a continuous process for us. It's also one of the key deliverables for the Ministry of Finance, so it's high priority for us.
Ms. Cornwall, I must commend you too. I go to a department. You have different departments now, right? You have what, for small and large.
Yeah, units, different units, the different large and units. Medium taxpayer units.
Right, and the persons who are within the Inland Revenue finally treat people as customers. They finally treat us as human beings, I must say.
But as Ms. Lett said, you know, it's a work in progress. We always have to try to work with staff to bring their customer service element to a particular level. And tax administration, I mean, what we do is different from what, if you're in the hospitality sector, you're selling a good, you're not selling a good or a service, but you're actually trying to collect monies for government to provide goods and services. And so it's a bit different. Our approach needs to be different for tax administration in terms of how we view things. And so when you approach and we're trying to collect, it may come across in a negative way, but we are hoping to be very diplomatic and nicely pat your back and take the monies out of your pocket. I think that is essentially what we're trying to do. So we are working. We continue to work with our staff, and we have seen improvements, and we would continue to work with them in the scheme of reform.
I must say, because they used to come like, they want to close down your business. Yeah. Give me the money. You figure it out. Oh, no, they want to say, look, we want you to keep your business. We want you to do well. But let's find a way how you could. You can't pay $20, but pay us $5. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of approach we think has changed, and which people are responding to it, because it's very different. They don't feel they're coming to take and close you down, but they want to help you not to close down.
Olive branch. I always talk about the olive branch approach when I come here. So that is what we're working on, stretching that olive branch.
It very much so, as deputy, you have extended that to your folks, and
of
they
course.
Have listened.
That's the theme.
That's very, very good.
Yes.
And to you who have worked, I mean, I've seen GIDC have grown and developed. I must commend you again for the work you all have been doing. You walk in there, the approach that you all are using, how you all are helping investors to grow is good. But I think one of the things too, that the timely response to people is one of your challenges within GIDC. How are you addressing that?
It's a work in progress.
A lot of work in progress in here.
Right. We are cognizant of, you know, the speedy response that is needed by investors. Time is money, right? So we try to respond to investors, and we have set framework as to when you should respond to investors' requests. But I want to get back to the investment regime a bit, and it's something we didn't spend a lot of time talking on. And the time it takes to get the investment package with this new regime, it will reduce the time tremendously. At the moment, an investor coming in to get incentives can take an average, approaching GIDC can take an average about 6 to 7 weeks to get an incentive package. With this arrangement that we're talking now, in terms of certification and so, it can be reduced to about 7 days.
Wow.
Right? So that's the, in terms
that's
of the
huge,
cost of,
that's a huge
of,
change.
In terms of ease of doing business, that's one area that we're looking at, because you reduce the time it takes to get the incentive package. And that is something we didn't spend a lot of time to talk on, but I think it's worth noting. But again, from the other services that GIDC provides, I mean, we are trying to cut the time it takes to do business, provide a lot more information. We are about to launch a new website, which will provide a lot more content-rich information on doing business. So someone, instead of having to call, and you can just go on the website and get a lot of content as to how to do business, and knowing, you know, different procedures and about the various licensing requirements and so forth. So we try to have a very content-rich website, and that is to be launched very soon.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you all have done exceptionally well. Thank you all for sitting here for this long time and talking with me. And in the past 3 weeks, you have been very helpful, and I'm very, very thankful. And even for me, I'm happy that no longer an investor coming from outside can be treated like a first-class citizen. I could be a second-class citizen in my own country. And I'm sure most of us in Grenada and business people, I think, would be happy for that. And the other thing is that I'm able to walk into GIDC, get a booklet that tells me what I need to do, and, you know, to get my investment done. And the 7 days respond that you have. And the big thing, I think, where all the departments are working together I think that is helpful. And if you're going to be, as you rightly said, once a month to be able to look at it and get out some of the problems and the teething problems you may have as we start this, I want to commend you all. I really commend you and congratulate you all. I know it had been a lot of hard work. I know it had been a lot of pressure. Sometimes you're somebody saying you're vexed. No, I agree with you. The arguments across the table. But at least out of these diversity of ideas came something unique for Grenada, that an investor coming in would be able to do business here. And at that, I am grateful. Thank you all so much.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. All right, you heard it there. I have been speaking to Mr. Ronald Theodore, who is the Senior Vice President of the Grenada Industrial Development Corporation. Ms. Alison Carvel-Lett, Deputy Controller, Grenada Custom Excise Department. And Katjan Alexander-Pierre, Senior Investment Promotion Specialist, GIDC. And Ms. Ophelia Cornwall, who is the Deputy Controller, Inland Revenue Department. They all have been here with us and have shared a lot of information about the new revised incentive regime that will be within the next month, will be up and running. And I do hope that we work together to continue to build our country for which we so love. I am Stanford Simon. Thank you so much for being with me today. Go to the website sgbcgrenada.com, also the government website. It also will be uploaded there on the Inside Finance website, and you can go online. We also have this program on the cloud. It's also uploaded there. So you can find it anywhere to listen to what is happening in Grenada. And you can send me an email, stanfordsimon01@gmail.com. God blessings on you and your family as you work together. And special thanks again to all of you who have been here and shared with us in the past 3 weeks. I enjoyed talking with you. It had been fun. And now we are better off because we have a bit more information. Take care of yourself. This has been a program of Inside Finance. Have a great, enjoyable week. Join me next week at the same time for another program of Inside Finance. I'm Stanford Simon, wishing you a very blessed and enjoyable week, day, month. Enjoy everything that you got.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.